Man, I sure am glad I have this limited edition super fancy special journal.
Hey, welcome back to Fifth Draw Wild. As you can hear, we're talking about the journal this week. This is part two of our supersode.
Hey, what's up?
This is absolutely the intro to this episode. I'm doing it because that was funny to me. We're back. We're doing our second of five supersode bits. And today we are talking full spoilers. Drive that point home.
Yes.
We're not pulling punches. Go watch the dang show.
Yeah.
We're talking about the journal today, and I think there's some specific stuff we're going to talk about that we didn't talk about last year.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about mostly the section of it that is that Ford wrote when he came back about what he was doing when he was gone.
This is a buck wild trip that this dude went on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to. I have the super fancy edition. I don't know if I've said that yet. This episode, but I do have it. It's one of how many? One of 10,000. I think I'm the only one here. Anybody else have one of the? No, nobody. Okay. But there's like a hidden blacklight stuff, and I'm just trying to. There's some on the first page, and I don't know how much there is in the rest of it. So I'm just trying to like activate it right now so I can get the inside scoop that you would otherwise not be able to hear because you don't have the fancy journal.
So I can already tell there's gonna be some great audio in this one because I'm sure you can hear me rolling my eyes.
I feed on this.
Yeah,
I live on this.
Jake's been listening to me talk about the commentaries on the DVDs that he doesn't have yet.
This is the only time I can get back at you is this episode.
I should have felt this coming. I really should have. I don't know why I didn't. I totally suggested this episode. I don't know what I was thinking. But we're going to talk about Ford's journey mostly. So as a recap, Ford was working with Bill Cipher and McGucket. And eventually he figured out, after McGucket got his head stuck in the portal, that Cipher was not maybe being straight with him about some stuff. Fair to say?
Yeah.
You can say that.
I think that's probably fair.
So what do we learn in the show first? What do we learn about what Bill's whole deal was? Let's recap that real quick.
Bill's like a mind demon. Uh-huh. Gets all up in your brain. And you make a deal with him, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll do the thing for you, but you know, I need a vessel." Takes the vessel, and sometimes he follows up with the deal. Sometimes he super doesn't.
I mean, I think he has to, but again, Dipper made a bad deal the one time that we saw. So
yeah, well, that was like what the second or third. That was the second instance that we like actually saw Bill make a deal.
Yeah.
So
in the show we saw him, for lack of a better term, basically seduce Ford with all this like knowledge.
Yeah, the forbidden fruit of knowledge.
And Ford just like fell for it because his sin is hubris.
Yeah, he's very smart, and that means he's pretty dumb about some things. So
in the same way that Stan is pretty dumb, which makes him pretty smart about things.
Yeah. There's two different types of smarts. Stan got the street smarts, and Ford got the book smarts.
Yeah.
They actually, Alex Hirsch goes to a lot of trouble in the commentaries to talk about how both Stan and Ford and Mabel and Dipper are, if you could accurately measure it, are exactly the same type level of smart. They're just different kinds of smart.
Very differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dipper, this is the journal episode, and we forgot to mention it in the character episode. We didn't say Dipper's real name in the last supersode.
Well, yeah, because that doesn't show up until the journal.
Right.
We had a journal episode last time.
That was kind of a spoiler because he's
talking
to Ford.
Yeah, it's a spoiler. It's even a spoiler if you've only watched the show because it's only in the journal.
It's true. Dude, they were going to put that in the UFO episode.
Really? They were going to hide it in there?
Yeah. Like at the very end, he was going to be talking to Ford and just blurt it out like he does in the journal.
Okay.
So that name is near and dear to the two of you, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool name. It's pretty all right.
It's a pretty great one. His Dipper's real name is Mason. He's Mason Pines. which I'm a fan of. I was very happy to read that. It's a good quality name.
So there you have it. Mason Brothers approved.
Yep.
So let's talk about what we learn in the journal that's different from what we learn in the show. What goes on here with Bill and Ford? Because,
well, Bill has surprisingly little to do with it because Ford is dimension hopping through a bunch of different ones for, you know, 30 years. So there's like a little bit about like where he went at the end. There's a little bit about like what happened when he came back and like the couple things like the Infinity Decided to Die and Probabilidor and, you know, meeting Dipper and Mabel and all them. And he thought that Seuss was like a naked mole rat man because he ran into one in his journeys that looked like Seuss, but a naked mole rat. So that was pretty fun. I do want to – the Invisible Ink is only on the first page.
Okay.
And it just says how there's not going to be any more Invisible Ink for this part of the book because there's not a lot left because Seuss drank it. So there's a little bit. There's like a checklist of like, hey, I read 30 years of newspapers. But there's a note saying from Seuss that said, I found this in the room and I drank it and I made my tummy glow. I'm going to go lay down now. but then the rest of it is just is until like the very end of the book. It is just what happened and where he went and all that.
There's a lot of fun things. Like, he definitely goes to like some post-apocalypse worlds that Bill has already eaten.
And yeah.
He goes to one that's literally just our world, except he and McGucket aren't idiots and do it right.
Yeah. And so like there's, instead of the Mystery Shack, his like lab, there's like a technology institute dedicated to like fighting Bill and figuring out the mysteries of the universe.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. He gets a dimensional translator. So he can like always communicate with people. So that's a good thing they put like right up front in this. Or else he'd be like, how did you know any languages? But it's like, oh, here's how, write this, this thing. I'm trying to look at some of the other ones. There's like a list of all the ones. Here's a weird one. So the thing I like about Gravity Falls is that sometimes the jokes are the dumbest version of the joke they could make, and that's done on purpose. So like sometimes the jokes are like very clever and like you need to think about them and like they come back in like fun ways. Sometimes it's literally like there's a candy bar called Math, the candy bar. Or Homework, the candy bar.
Mr. Adequate Bar.
Yeah, Mr. Adequate Bar. It's just like the dumbest version of the joke. So the first dimension in here is just the M dimension, where everything is shaped like M's. That's it. That's what the dimension is. It's pretty dumb, but it's great, because it's just, it's like, what's this? Let's start off with not a clever or a weird one, just like, here's a real dumb one.
You always got to have that dumb dimension in these stories, and I really admire just how much Alex Hirsch was like, wait, hold on, I get to write basically a sci-fi novel in the back of this journal.
Yeah,
I'm fucking going for it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. There's the do-over dimension where time yo-yos, so like you get old and then it reverses and you go back to being young and then it goes back and forth, and there's like this whole thing of him like saying like, here's the problem with the do-over dimension is that like you don't know how things are going to go just because you did it before. And so like, here's just a bunch of like what you tried to do and the results each time and how it's like different. And you know how this maybe is not a great solution for how a universe should run.
That sounds like hell.
Yeah. Right.
That sounds like literal hell.
Sounds pretty bad.
I mean, listen, there is that interpretation where Groundhog's Day is just Bill Murray trying to escape hell to his heaven. So
he's there for like 1,000 years.
It's something really bonkers.
It's
yeah.
ridiculous.
No, thank you.
Yeah. then there's the Lotocron 9, the gambling dimension, where literally everything is decided by chance. So like you get married. There's a picture of a woman who has a ring and there's three suitors and she's blindfolded and just walking up towards them. Everything is literally determined by luck and chance. So again,
kind of a hellscape.
Yeah, because you don't get to pick anything. Like you can try to like adjust the odds in your favor, but that would just make you probably an outlaw. some sort of like criminal for just wanting stability.
Yeah. We don't like your kind in our dimension.
Yeah.
Yes, stats and probability classes that I took in community college would be illegal.
Yeah,
I think probably. So.
You would be literal, a thought crime person.
Literal health, health. What? No, Mason, those aren't the words.
One more again.
Yeah, let me try that one more time. sorry, never mind. We're moving on. Matt, right. Cut this, please.
Yep.
Okay.
So
life hacks. That's what I was trying to think of. Life hacks. Literal life hacks. That's what I was trying to fucking think of.
Well, at least you got there eventually.
Oh gosh. And now all that has to be left in because we made a joke out of it.
Damn awesome. It.
Great.
You did this yourself, Scoot.
I did.
So what else do we got going on in these dimension hopping voyages of Fords?
The next dimension that they talk about, and he says there's like a bunch like that he doesn't talk about. So like, you know, there's probably one of everything. He's doing this for 30 years. But then he said in like the third one, it says, my quest to defeat Bill led me to a strange world that I would mistakenly believe to be his birthplace. So he's not actually from this dimension. So I think I was wrong earlier and I was just remembering what was theorized before we knew. So it's the two dimensional dimension where it's just a flat plane. And everybody is a circle, a square, or a triangle. And so we thought Bill was a triangle from here, but I guess that is not true.
There's some stuff that suggests that Bill is, like, Bill eventually consumed his entire dimension.
Yeah.
If you have listened to all of the balance arc of the Adventure Zone, that might sound familiar to you for reasons that I'm not going to get into in case you haven't.
Yeah, we're not spoiling that. We'll spoil this, but we're not going to spoil Adventure Zone.
No. But there's some terminology that gets used in the commentaries, especially when Bill encounters Time Baby, as we'll discuss later, that kind of implies that Bill has become basically like a dark god of chaos.
Yeah.
And can like reconstitute himself somewhere else.
Yeah, so the how they beat Bill, we didn't really talk about because that's kind of a weird Mageddon thing. But like how they beat Bill is sort of using the few laws that he has to abide by against him.
Yeah,
which is really good. It's a really good way around it. But yeah, so Bill does not come from this two dimensional one. It says Ford like thought that it was. He was kicked out pretty summarily because he's three dimensional and this is a two dimensional world, so he could only see the dimension from above, like looking down on it because he doesn't exist on the same amount of planes that they do. So he's kicked out for being in a regular shape, you know, 3D, which is pretty good. But that ran him into the Oracle, who is this psychic woman with looks like seven eyes, which I feel like is the opposite of one eye, right? Like,
I mean, like
in terms of importance, number of eyes, like that's kind of the opposite. But yeah, so he ran into her, she basically helped him a little bit. I think you might love her. I don't want to just like read the book on this podcast cause that sounds like audio poison, but, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff about her in here. I'm trying to skim through it real quick.
When you say he might love her, do you mean Bill or?
No. Ford. I think Ford, cause he says, getting kicked out of the two-dimensional dimension led him to one of the most extraordinary creatures he's ever encountered, and then there's the Oracle on the next page. So,
okay.
There's also, like, she's got a bunch of axolotls behind her, which axolotls are, like, sort of super god in the Gravity Falls world. It's hard to explain, but, like, axolotls are, like... So, there's a... We'll talk about it a little bit more in Weird Mageddon. There's a thing that happens at the very end of Weird Mageddon where someone says axolotl backwards three times. And if you say something backwards, that's usually important.
Yeah.
But it's part of this other thing that they say that leads you to believe that like axolotls are like the keystone of the universe because they're Alex Hirsch's favorite animal, I think.
They are.
And they're all just super weird.
It's yeah, there's some talk about some sort of like deep magic or ancient magic or something like that. So it's like this is kind of some like underpinnings of reality here that maybe let's not touch that duct tape quite yet.
Yeah, and the weird part about it is that on the duct tape is a bunch of axolotls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just looking at you like, don't touch it.
Don't do it. Look at my weird ears. What are these fern things growing out of my head? Nobody knows.
They're great. What adorable creatures. Yeah. So what even question am I trying to ask?
It's a good question.
Aha, my garbage talking curse has been spread.
Thank you so much. You babadooked me.
You're welcome.
So give me more Bill and Ford and this journal and what's going on with these dudes.
I don't know. I'm trying to get through. Okay, here's the better world. One of the dimensions is called a better world. This is the one where it's 30 years later. So this is at the end of his thing. He's gone to a world where everybody is babies, which is just like kind of playing on the like Muppet Babies idea. There's a dinosaur. There's a different dinosaur where dinosaurs are people and they're in boardrooms. But then he gets to the better world, which is one where he didn't get messed up. Like he didn't get destroyed or thrown into a portal. And him and Fiddleford have this like huge institute. Turns out you can't touch each other yourself there. That would be super bad. But right before he gets given this quantum destabilizer, which is like this weapon that can kill Bill that they've been working on in this better world for this whole time. And right before he can get like any other answers is when Stan flips the switch to bring him back and he gets sucked back and is mad at Stan for that. So because he was real close to like getting some answers.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is how bad my brain is, my memory. I don't know. Did we talk about the extra room in the Mr. Shack in this episode or last week?
We mentioned it last week.
Last week. Okay. So when the quantum destabilizer shows up again in Weird Mageddon, it says experiment 6 something on it. Mm-hmm. And the carpet that we first saw has experiment whatever, 80 something, I think it was.
72, yeah, I think.
72? Yeah.
So
there's like, I don't know. I just thought that was really cool how it's like, this quick flash of experiment whatever, and then again experiment whatever.
Yeah, and it shows that like he like this world's one is way farther ahead because he has had time to do all these experiments, so he's on like in the 600s.
Yeah,
and also that Ford is just going to be Ford no matter where you are.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Also, I think it was probably 618 because that is their birthday. That yeah. is the
I think
the
that's Hirsch what it was, twins' yeah.
birthday, and so like the 618 is. Everywhere in the show.
I think I saw it 3 times in part 1 of Weird Mageddon.
Yeah, it's all over the place. I think like the Mr. Shack is like 618 Gopher Road or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Too. Like it's literally anytime they like need a random number, they put that in there unless it's like too suspicious and they won't put it, but it's in there a lot. So yeah, that's kind of it. There's like a little bit about how he Bill caught up to him. Or so maybe I was wrong and I didn't, because again I haven't read this. I didn't like take a second to prepare before we started this episode because I was too busy bragging about it and we just jumped in.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oops. So there's a bit. What?
That's just what we do here. We just dive into things and hope for the best.
Yeah. So like, there's a bit about how like Bill like chased him down and like he had to run up against So I think at the end of the better world, he had to leave because if Ford saw him, then like there's the chance that they would destroy each other is there, and that would be bad. If Ford saw Ford from the better world,
yeah,
to be clear. But then he beats up a bunch of Bill's hench monsters, hench maniacs as he calls them, and then he gets to like the. Not the nightmare dimension, but this thing called the Quadrangle of Confusion, which is like an M.C. Escher painting that he's pretty sure Bill is from. It's kind of like where he chills out. Like it's not the madness dimension, but it is like Bill's living room.
Yeah,
kind of. But yeah, that's mostly it. You know, without literally stopping the recording and reading everything again to get more up on it.
That's fine. Let's like I said, we can have some shorter episodes in here. Let's roll back through the journal here a little bit, and let's kind of talk about the journals in the context of Ford writing them in the show as well. we can round this episode off with that, because things get interesting when Ford gets back. If y'all remember from last year, or if you weren't here last year, again, I'm not going to question your life choices. We talked about how when journals were first introduced, until the point where Dipper discovers that there's blacklight writing on them, the journal never lies. And then there's that turn. He discovers there's secret information, which means everything in the journal is now suspect. And
yes,
it stops being like the just plot generator as much as it is, because now it's part of the mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. It stops being an answer, like a place you can go for answers, and starts being a place that you go for more questions, which is really clever, because it is like the central pillar of the show. Like, it is the MacGuffin machine. It's like the thing that the shows are based around is like what this journal is, his gateway to the plot and the mystery of the show. So like when they introduce the Invisible Ink stuff, it's like now there's double the amount here, but some of this stuff is like hidden. Some of this stuff he didn't want you to know unless you had the black light. Some of it is like just madness talk in here, and yeah, like pretty scary. Like, so there's a whole bunch of new stuff going on that is from the post him finding out that Bill is bad era.
There's this fun part where, you know, when it becomes the question instead of the answer, it doesn't even necessarily rely on just having to pull out a black light anymore. Because the Northwest Mansion mystery happens after that turn. Because the turn at the black light happens first episode of season two.
Yeah.
Scaryoki is where that happens. And in Northwest Mansion mystery, the journal tells Dipper definitively that there are 10 types of ghosts.
Yes.
Which is wrong and a flat out incorrectness.
And even with the black light stuff, like, some of the ghosts are like different than what they, so Dipper didn't look at them in black light. Like, he didn't look at the ghost stuff under black light. He didn't have time. But like the first ghost is like the cute one. Like, it's the not Casper ghost. And like, if you look at it, it's like a horrifying bag of bones under it. It's like very creepy in the black light. And then you go to like the Grim Reaper one, like the category 10, and you look under it, and it's like Eustace from Courage the Cowardly Dog. Like, it's like not a scary dude at all. Like, it's just like this guy in his underwear.
Basically, and a Mimikyu is what it is.
Pretty much, yeah. And so, like, and they talk about, like, you know, how some of the other ones are like this and that. And then I think we talked about it in the first journal episode, the keyhole and the key.
Yeah.
That, like, are somehow different types of ghosts, even though that seems like monsters. But, you know, whatever. And so then he finds this entirely new one that like uses some of the rules of some of the others, but is not that one. It's a scary lumberjack who's been wronged by rich people.
It's an interesting turn for the journal. You've grown to trust the journal so much so that by the end of season one, when Gideon accuses Dipper of not being anything without the journal, like, we're supposed to believe it.
Yeah.
Right up until Dipper, like, superheroes off the cliff through the eye of a giant robot and Kaiju fights it.
Yeah, it's very good.
I love that. That is my favorite episode.
We're going to talk about that one in depth, I feel like, again. But the idea that this thing is just like, hey, everything you know about me is wrong, is just a really good trick of writing.
Yeah, and the best part is it's not actually necessarily wrong either. It's just different than what you thought you knew. There's just more to it, and now has this layer. They set up that it is wrong, and that like maybe it was all a lie, and that like something happened. But it is the truth of it is that like this is just a person who has gone off the deep end because he can't trust anything anymore, questioning his own like sanity and what he's learned and what he's written. Cause like, what if it's was helped by Bill? Like, how does that taint it? And the answer is not a lot, actually. Like, it turns out most of the stuff that was in the journal, is untouched. It's just, you know, it's just more research that he did to finish it. So like The invisible wizard is this horrifying looking thing. The barfing fairies are only barfing because they can see the invisible wizard. And so, yeah. Like, you know, there's like a lot of things like that, that they set up by going back through it with the black light.
And it's interesting because what you kind of get the sense of is Ford came to Gravity Falls and just started like cataloging things, but only ever looked at the surface.
Yeah.
Only ever what he could see as a scientist. And then the minute he meets Bill, which is when he decides he has to start writing in invisible ink, because otherwise Bill will see it.
Yeah.
Is when he starts looking beyond the surface. And you're just like, whoa, that kind of says a lot. That's saying a whole lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. Scoot, you want to jump in? I feel like you haven't talked in 20 minutes.
I probably haven't, but that's because I don't have my journal because I forgot it because I'm stupid and bad at podcasting.
Well, do you have anything you want to add about this, though? I'm not looking at my journal when we're talking about this either right now. So
I'm trying to remember because I think the last time I looked at the journal was the last time we recorded the journal episode. I don't know. There's just like it's really cool how they put this extra thing out into the world because all of this stuff like. When Dipper's – there's multiple times Dipper's, like, flipping through the journal and you can see, like, he's going past, like, Steve or just, like, all of this unexplained stuff in the journal. And Steve is just, I guess, this giant woodland, like, monster whose toes are backwards, which freaks me out, which you can see in the opening scene.
Yeah.
The theme song. And it's just – it's really cool how, like, this whole extra – not really backstory of Gravity Falls, but extra like addition to it, like exists and is a physical thing that we can have. I don't know, it's not just like this is the journal and throw it away. Then we're done with it. Show's over. We're done with it.
Yeah, it says a lot that it's like the first major thing they put out after the show ended. Like, cause and, like they have DVDs now, like we said, but like, and that's rare for kids' TV nowadays, which is insane to me, but. Like the first thing that Alex Hirsch did post Gravity Falls was make the journal real.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's important. Like it has so much in it. It's basically the third season, like a third season's worth of stories and details and stuff.
Yeah. Especially the stuff about Ford that we talked about. Like I can't even imagine how many times he got asked, hey, what was Ford doing? What was Ford doing?
Right.
And he was just right, like, yeah. Well, here, read it, go.
Yeah, like, stop asking.
Here you go.
Yeah, these are going to be shorter episodes, and I'm sorry, but, you know, we're building up to something big here.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you know, this is a monthly podcast, and we're doing these weekly, so, for 5 weeks, so, you know.
Yeah.
It's technically five times more than what you would get this month anyway.
It's true. I hope you don't mind, and I hope y'all are enjoying this as much as we are, because Gravity Falls is a real great show, and you should go watch it, you guys, if you haven't.
Have you watched the show yet? I guess what we're asking.
I want to ask a favor, personally, from me to you. Everyone listening, watch the show. Please, for me.
Watch the show.
For your friends.
Yeah.
Also for you. Do it for yourself more than anything.
Do it for you. It's very good.
It really is. So that's going to kind of wrap up our talk on the journal. Next week is also probably going to be a little bit shorter of an episode. But then we're going to get to the good stuff. We're going to talk about our favorite episodes.
Yeah, boy.
On week four and on week five. Guys, week five is probably going to be real long.
Yeah. So if you're a little disappointed at the length of these first couple ones, just wait a little bit.
We'll make it up to you.
I have a lot to say about Weirdmageddon.
We're going
to
– if I had planned this better, we probably would have just done three episodes on Weirdmageddon and done each part as an episode. But I'm not a forward thinker, so we're just going to do one massive one at the end. So see y'all next week for our Monsters and Mysteries episode. Scoot, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me online on Twitter, not online. Well, yes, it's online. See,
it's
guys, remember?
It is online.
I don't know.
Just finish the sentence.
I'm bad at this. ScottyMace1 on Twitter. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Jake,
I can't talk.
Jake, where can people find you online?
I'm on Twitter at JJ_Mason, and I have a podcast called Pokemon World Tour United, one of many podcasts. This specific one is about us going through the world of Pokemon. It's an actual play podcast, and it's very fun. And Matt's been on it, and Scoot's been on it, and a bunch of people you've heard on this show has been on it. It's a good time.
You can find us on the internet at fifthdraw.com, follow us on Twitter at fifthdraw, or email us at social@fifthdraw.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley. If you enjoyed this episode, why not give us a rating and a review, or maybe tell a friend? Getting the word out helps us immensely. Our music is Arcade Montage by Lee Rosevere and can be found at the Free Music Archive. That's all for this week. We hope you'll join us next week for another episode. And hey, thanks for listening.